Welcome to Life Church Foursquare podcast with Pastor Eric. In today's message from the series No Robots Allowed, we will hear from Pastor Eric on our speech in the Christian faith. The sermon is based on the scripture 1 Timothy 4:12. Visit lifechurch4sq.com for more information about our service times, groups, and upcoming activities.
And so 1 Timothy 4, it's going to be up here on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. You can also grab your Bibles here on the sides. Those are available on your iPhone or iPad or something. 1 Timothy 4. Timothy is a young pastor, like myself, who doesn't quite know what they're doing all the time. And they need someone to kind of direct them and speak into them and mold them. And so for me, I have a pastor like Larry Jameson or Phil Oriadis or Roger that speak into my life to make sure that I'm being formed as God has asked me to be formed. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4. It says, if you put these things before the brothers, he says, tell these to the people, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself. Train. Underline that in your Bible. Train yourself. For while the body training is of some value, godliness is a value of it in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope that set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. What he's saying, he goes, you can work out your body like crazy. If Kirk was here today, he's at Nevada right now. He knows about working out your body. He's a bodybuilder. You have to train. You have to choose to eat right. What happens if you just naturally ate whatever you want? My wife just laughed because she goes, you look like me and not have a six-pack. I saw a shirt yesterday at the street fair. It said, six-pack coming soon. I told my dad he can wear it. It says, six-pack 20 years ago. I wish he was here. That would be so funny. It says training physically has its perks and pecs. It has all those things. But when we train spiritually, it goes beyond this world into the next. It goes into the afterlife. It not only for you personally in the afterlife, guess what? When you personally build up your character, guess what? You're going to instill that in your kids. And they're going to live that out in their life. And they're going to build their character, and it's going to live out in your grandkids. And it's way past you. See, we like to think that your purpose in life is just for you here, right now, but it's not. The things that you sow now will be reaped in generations later. He wants to build in us. We have to train. And so Paul is telling this, and we go, great, great. Have you ever thought, like, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to gain muscle, but I just don't know how, right? Do I go to Weight Watchers? Do I go to Jenny Craig? Do I do P90 or Insanity? Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Do I swim? Do I run? Do I wear trash bags every day where I go? Like, what do I do to lose weight? What do I have to do to train? And Paul tells this to Timothy. He goes, I'm going to tell you. This is how you do it. He says, command and teach these things. He says, in other words, teach these things to your church. And so that's what we're going to do today. Now, Timothy was a young guy. So that's the direct context of this passage. Timothy was a young guy. However, whether you're young, old, or somewhere in between, this verse still applies to you. So just because it says young, do not go, oh, this isn't to me. Because it is. It has to be. Because no matter what age you are, you have an opportunity to display the love of Jesus. So it says this, let no one despise you for your youth or your maturity, or your experiences, or your reputation, but do these things. But set the believers an example. He's saying we need to be an example. Guess what? You're not an example by what you say, you're an example by what you do. It says this, we must be example in our speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of the scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. These are the things that we are to do. We're doing that right now. We are living out this scripture right now simply by we're teaching what the word says. But here's something for you very personally. Not all of us are called to teach this way. However, all of you are called to set an example in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your purity. Each of you are called in this direction. He's saying all of us need to be set an example for your church, for your family, for your community. We had the street fair yesterday, and I'm not saying this in any way to toot our own horn or to toot my horn and go, hey, look at me. But I made sure that our area was the cleanest. We picked up every single piece of trash. We made sure they asked us to stay in our little boundary, so we stayed in that boundary. Why? Because when we honor them, God honors us. We're going to do whatever we can to be an example to the community. We're not going to go out there and hold up picket signs and banners and all sorts of things. I'm not concerned about advertising the community, but I am concerned about loving the community. And this is how we're going to be an example to our community. Today we're talking about speech. We're going to talk about the words that we say. Talk about how to be an example in that way. And it's very interesting that Paul made that first on the list, because that's usually the first thing people encounter about who we are, is our words. I have to say this a lot to my team. Hear what I say and understand what I'm saying. Because it's very easy to be misunderstood when you're trying to make them understand. You ever had that experience? You say something and you go, and someone reacts and you go, where in the world did you get that from? Communication is a really funny thing. Because it's everything. It's from what we say. It's our body language, our tone, all those different things. But so specifically, we're going to talk about speech. In James 3, you can turn that. It's going to be behind you. It's a little longer passage. And I just want you to listen. You can feel free to read along in your journals, but I want you to listen. Because what James does, James, the brother of Jesus, he's writing this, and this letter actually got him killed. And you'll see why. It says, not many of you should become teachers. What he's saying is not many of you should publicly open your mouth. Right? Just think about that. Not many of you should open your mouth. You shouldn't say things. And he goes on, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. People want fame. People want a voice. People want to be able to say something everyone listens, but do you truly understand what the weight of that means? Because simple words have started wars that have killed thousands. For many will all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Now, can anyone attest to that? Anyone never stumbled over their words? No one put their foot in their mouth? Anyone? No? Okay, we're in good company. See, no robots allowed. Able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouth of horses, those are those like stick things that you put in the horses, so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large, are driven by a strong wind. They are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. You ever go out to Seal Beach, you see those huge cargo ships? They've got a little bitty rudder that controls left, right, where they go. These giant, multi-ton boats have a proportionate rudder that just goes like this. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Anyone been watching the news? That's all that's on is the fires around the Newberry area. It was started by a cigarette. Little spark. Little tiny spark has destroyed hundreds of acres. Said among the members standing fire, a world, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord, our Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. We're going to talk about cursing in a little bit and what that actually means, so just put a little line under it. From the same mouth come the blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt pound fresh yield water. We're going to do something a little gross for everybody. Ready? Okay, just loosen up your shoulders a little bit. Everyone stick out their tongue for 3 seconds. One, two. I said 3 seconds, Brittany. She's like, okay. All right, ready? One, two, three, go. Okay, there we go. See, that wasn't too weird. That wasn't too weird. Anyone have the bad taste in their mouth now? Nasty air? No, okay. Our tongues, the ability to talk, or if you can't talk and you sign, the ability to communicate can do two things. It can create life or can bring death to the people and the situations and circumstances around us. It can set a fire. It can set a blaze to the things going on around us by simply the words that are said. It's literally, it can be full of poison. Have you ever said something to your spouse and go, I wish I didn't say that? There are times I have to tell Aaron, I go, Aaron, I can't talk right now because if I do, bad things will happen. And you kind of have to hold it back. It's crazy that James goes, we've been able to master some of the most beautiful and majestic animals in the world. But we're still causing trouble with the words we say. And now that we have a broader range and accessibility of communication, one person on Facebook can communicate people in Russia and China and Iceland and North Korea. Well, not so much North Korea. They shut everything down. Why? Because communication can be a problem. We saw that 2 years ago at the Arab Spring. That whole thing was started through social media because people who once no longer did not have a voice. They began organizing, began collaborating, and overthrew two dictators because of communication. So one of the first things it can do is it can bring death. In Ephesians it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up and fits the occasion. So know your context, that it may give grace to those who hear. So the first thing that our words can do is it can bring death. We see that with Jesus actually used his words for death once. He came up to a fig tree and it didn't yield any fruit, and so he cursed it, and it died. Isn't that funny? Like, we think of Jesus, oh, Jesus loves me. He doesn't love fig trees. He cursed it, and it died because it didn't have a fruit form. So it's just that's one kind of big, our words have huge meaning. But also, in the negative talk, I heard this on the radio the other day, is you share what you hear. So there's negative self-talk that you do to yourself, and there's negative talk that you do to other people. And negative talk is that, and negative self-talk is you're useless. You're worthless. Even as some of us would say this is superficial, but this is real. I'm ugly. Nobody wants to spend time with me. And we just go down the list criticizing, I'm an idiot, if I only done this. And we begin to feed negativity into our lives, into who we are as people. There are times when Aaron will just go, she just had a baby. She goes, I'm bigger than I used to be. I don't feel attractive. I feel bad about my, it just very, begins this negative talk. And what I've had to do, because negative talk, we shouldn't talk negatively about people, but about ourselves, we kind of justify it. And so this is what I've had to tell my wife. Don't you dare talk about my wife that way. Don't you dare talk about my best friend that way. Do you ever have someone someone talks bad about your best friend, you're the first person up there, like, all right, come on, let's go. Right? I mean, in high school was simply because of defending a friend. Okay, maybe just me. But I have to do the same with her. Don't talk negative about my wife. don't do it. But then there's that negativity that we can fester around people. That we get and just, yeah, finances are hard, but you only talk about them all the time. Where everything's like, oh, that was, even this sermon, you're going to go, well, that was great, but he didn't do this, 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 and this. See, whenever you point out the negatives, you're forgetting all the positives. And what happens is, yes, there are those times for critique. There's those times that you need to come in and correct. But for the majority of the time, the negativity isn't going to birth anything. It's only going to destroy. It's going to destroy your opinion of another person. And the majority of the time, we like to hold people at a higher standard ourselves when they make a mistake, and when they do succeed, we think they're less sin. We kind of have them on this pendulum, depending on how we view them. And we speak negative. We receive negativity. Maybe growing up, our parents only had negative things to say about us. You couldn't get the good grades. You couldn't get on the football team. You couldn't do this. You can't do this. You don't know how to do this. And that's all you grew up on. And because you've allowed that to stay there, you're doing the same thing to your kids. And Jesus, he goes, that's not what it is. See, even when we receive negative talk, there are times where I have to say, you need to be quiet. I've told this to people. You need to stop. Even the music that we listen to. Oh, I just like the beat. Great, like the beat, but the words are still coming in here. They're not filtering them through. They're holding on to them. And that breeds negativity in your heart. It breeds negativity in your mind. It breeds this area of just death. That's why I'm not like a don't listen to secular music person at all. You know, I like my occasional, who have I been listened to? Actually, right now, this week has been all country. I've been on a Garth Brooks, Taylor Swift kick right now. But like I'll listen to a few other bands, a few other music, and it's okay. But that point when it's affecting who you are, and if you ever have to say it's not affecting who I am, it's affecting you. It is. It plainly is. Listen to worship music. Make that choice. You may hate the style, but listen to it. Because it's reminding you of God's hope and his love and his peace and his strength and his scripture being sung over you. And the words of his scripture is life. Real quick, I know we're running a little late here, but that's okay. Cursing versus cussing. I think this is funny. Cursing is to speak death into somebody's life. If you say, Charles, you'll be nothing in this life, you're a failure, you're cursing them. Don't do that. I know a lot of people who have said that to little kids, you're going to amount to nothing. And that kid is now defined by that one phrase. Don't do it. If you've done it, go apologize. Don't speak death in this. That's cursing. You're speaking death. That's why Jesus cursed the fig tree, and guess what happened? It died. You curse a small child who's just trying to help his dad mow the lawn. You just spoke death into him. That's cursing. Cussing? Okay, cussing is so funny. I was a high school pastor for a long time, and all they want to do is justify why they can cuss. Okay. I don't think cussing's sin. It's just really bad vocabulary and lazy self-discipline. It's just stupidity. Right? Like, it's not sin. Like, you're not sinning against God because you're saying certain words. Unless you're doing it in a cursing way. When you're telling one, I keep pointing at Charles. I know that because I'm pretty sure I have at times, and I apologize. If I say F you, you've cursed him. You're not cussing. You're using a word completely out of context. And the wrong meaning in order to speak death into a person. Or if you say someone, you're a piece of whatever, you're speaking death to them. You're saying that you are a pile of manure that has to store at a high place. That, someone taught me that. Who taught me that? That's what you said. That's what that word means. Is store high in transit. I'll let you write that acronym out, and we'll have 4 points right there. Store high in transit. Manure that has to be stored high. Is you're speaking death. But just the word in general, like you listen to some rap songs where I listen to some, you know, I'm at Starbucks or Panera and you hear people talk, they use cuss words like commas. That's not a sin issue. That's a learn freaking English issue right here. Right? Freaking is the same word as saying F-U-C-K. It's the same thing. It's poor vocabulary. It's just you're not self-disciplined in your mind. That's what it is. And so, now there are times you stub your toe or something blows up in front of you, you go, because there's just some other words that just don't describe the moment what you're feeling. And that just fits. But 2 Timothy says this, avoid irrelevant babble. It will lead people into more and more ungodliness. It won't help you. It's not speaking life. You cussing is not a life decision choice. It's you. It is, but it's a poor one. It leads to ungodliness. It doesn't improve you at all. Stay away from it. It doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. We don't want to speak life into people. We only speak death into people in any way, shape, or form. So if that's through cursing, oh, you listen to that part. Oh, that. Oh. Amen, wait. We don't want to speak death into people. So you're cursing, you're cussing, your negative talk, if it's not building people up, it's tearing people down. And Scripture is very clear. We want to be example in our speech. And life. See, God spoke life, spoke creation into existence. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness. There was just nothing there over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. He said it. He spoke it. He used his speech to create. And later in 2 Timothy, it says, the word of God is breath or spoken by God. It says, all scripture is breath or spoken out by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Our words have the opportunity to speak life. God told Ezekiel, speak to the dead bones and they will rise. Jesus came and spoke to the sick and the ones that need to be healed, and they were healed. We, with our words, have an opportunity to build people up. Build people up to find what's good in them and keep doing it. You're doing great. Now, obviously, there's correction. You have to speak it in love. That's our core value number 3. That in confrontation and in recreation, we do it, all of our motive is love. So when I come up to Charles, I know I'm going to use it for example again. If I'm going to bring correction, it's out of love in order to build him up. Not to tear him down in any way, shape, or form. We want to build each other up because everything else around us, if we can't be built up at the church, why in the world are we going to get built up? Where? We have to be building each other up through the example of our speech. You get around a church, you get around a people who are encouraging each other, man, you're getting around people who are living life. As something we have here amongst our team, and as you serve here, you'll catch this real quick. We have what's called a culture of recognition. Because whoever set up this speaker, say Jacob set up this speaker right here. Man, I want to recognize Jacob for setting up that speaker because that speaker allows me to do better what I'm supposed to do. Whoever set up these chairs, I think it was Mike and Allie today. No, you're on there. It was Laporte and Allie. They set up these chairs so you guys could sit in them. I want to recognize them because what they did here allows me to do what I do up here. And then they recognize what other people are doing. Now, I want to recognize Brittany because she's doing this. I'm able to do this. I want to recognize this. And it builds up the morale. And when you're happy to be somewhere, man, you'll be there forever. The same thing with the church. I know half the people I know that have left the church is because they were torn down by somebody. And usually authority. See, that's why it says be careful when you teach because you're going to be held to a higher standard. My job is to be your number one supporter. Now, sometimes it's going to mean tough words, but it's still to be your number one supporter. I want to encourage you, build you up. That's the purpose of this church, is to discover, encounter, display the love of Jesus, to lead you to become a fully follower of Jesus. We want to build you up. In your homes, you have an opportunity to build up your son. Even my son is 6 months old. He doesn't understand a word I'm saying. But I tell him every single day, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I don't want there a day to go by where he doesn't know that I love him and I'm proud of him. Do your kids know that you love them and you're proud of them? Do your roommates know that you love them, that you're proud of them? Even though they must be the most annoying people in the world, you build them up. They're probably annoying because they're needing something, they're not getting it. We need recognition as human beings. We need to know that we are something. After all, we are created in the likeness of God. I want to conclude with this, and if I can have Mike and George up here. In Galatians, we just read this a few days ago in our daily devotions. It says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Very simply, if you're going to speak seeds of negativity and destruction into your own heart, into the minds and ears of other people, guess what you're going to get? Corruption. But imagine if you began speaking that of what is the Spirit of God into your own heart and to the people around you. What if when you're feeling down and depressed, you don't tell yourself that you're worthless, you're useless, you can't do anything right, instead you go, "God, you have created me as your workmanship in Christ Jesus in order that I may do good works." Speak that into your life. What if when you see your kids and they're completely disobeying and they're completely going amok and they've started a small tribal thing and they're going to overthrow you in the kitchen, "I'm going to train these kids up in the ways of the Lord, even when it doesn't feel like it. When I get home, know I've had a horrible, frustrating day. Am I going to turn on Jay-Z that's going to tell me I need to be younger, smarter, and a baller in order to be happy? Or I'm going to turn on Chris Tomlin, who's going to sing that all things are new in Christ Jesus. That my family is more important than my status." Because what you hear is what you're going to share. If you know it or you're not, or you don't, it's going to bleed out of you. Very clearly, Paul tells Timothy, be an example in your speech. Because that is going to define you and how you define others.
We hope today's message brought to light ways where you can discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. We want to invite you to check out our Life Church Foursquare Facebook page and our website at www.lifechurch4sq.com.